Hello, everybody. Welcome again to a More Faith, More Life podcast. I'm sitting here with my wife, Kathy, and we're going to talk together as we get into the things of God and all the new things that are happening in the world today. I want to talk about God's purpose. God has a purpose. And I was thinking the scripture just a few minutes ago, Kathy, about, you know, all people have used this, all things work together for good. Can I back up on that before I finish it? A lot of people, have you ever heard them say, well, I believe, what is it like? Everything happens for a reason.
For a reason.
And I tell them, well, yeah, but sometimes the reason is to ruin your life. So you got to get God, all things work together for good. You got to define the all things.
The all things.
And that means everything God's got, he'll throw at you for your good. But it is for those who love God.
Yes.
And are the called ones or called according to his
purpose.
Yes. So if you want to get God, all of God's got, you got to love God. But you got to find his purpose for your life. And then he gets, I don't know, behind you, side you, maybe in front of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But how do people find their purpose then? What is the way? Because I know a lot of people are asking that. What is my purpose? Because kind of a purposeless generation out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
But that's changing. What did you just tell me?
Yes.
You saw in the news?
Yeah, I saw an article and a little video about it, that Bible sales are way up even more than ever because young adults, the younger generation, are buying Bibles.
They are,
yeah, they're buying them and because they're trying to find out their purpose and truth. And you know, there's been a lot of untruth bombarding us and bombarding them. And now they're turning to the Bible, reading it, studying it to find truth, but to find their purpose.
So you're saying Bible sales are way up right now?
Way up.
Well, now's a great time. You could go get a job. You could go make some money for us. Go out there. I can just see you selling Bibles on the street corner. No, but that is great news,
it
isn't
is, it? It is
well, that's
so good.
The place to start when you God's purpose. Can I just, you know, sometimes I like to remove the clutter and say things that nobody else will say. Well, some say, but most won't say. Most are so trying to be so sensitive to everybody that they can't help anybody sometimes. But okay, called according to his purpose, and how do you find God's purpose?
How do you?
Here's the problem, Kathy. Most people will never find God's purpose.
Why?
You know why? Because their purpose is them. They're trying to find their purpose, not God's purpose.
Well, yes.
And I deal with that with people, unfortunately, all the time. I have, I'm not going to say too much, but in my mind, a few examples are going to where I see people, they want to go do this, they want to go do that, you know, and but I look and I'm like, that's not what you're supposed to be. You're trying to find something to make you feel better about yourself. Do you know how many? We don't know. There's got to be a huge amount of people who preach every Sunday from a pulpit to feel better about themselves. That's why the messages are so weak. Because what is it? The Bible says, they said, I don't speak to please men. I speak to please God.
Yeah.
Then people will find their purpose through the preaching of the Word of God. It's one
correct
reading the Word of God. But the old thing where John the Baptist hit it right away, he said, I got to decrease. Jesus hit it. He says, you got to lose yourself. Don't go out and try to find yourself. And a lot of people, they're trying to find their ministry and they're trying to find themselves.
Yes.
Lose
definitely
yourself. Right?
Yeah.
Decrease.
Yes.
Be on the decrease.
Right.
And, but it's, so we try to figure out why there's so much weak preaching and psychology. And in one of my books, I think My Absurd Religion, I write that it's actually people are preaching Sigmund Freud, Freudism. They're not preaching Christianity. Also, you mentioned to me the other day, I need to write on this and preach on this, the commercialized Jesus. It's the Jesus commercialized, because anybody listening right now, if they got a job, they can go to work, start a conversation about God or Jesus or some of the alternate lifestyles going on, whatever you want, politics, whatever you want. And whoever you're talking to will probably inevitably tell you how Jesus feels about it. or what God thinks about it. Well, you know, God, and they'll tell you what God thinks. Well, these are people that they don't know anything about God. They don't know anything about God. They're not serving God with the purpose. But everybody kind of believes that they got this figured out. And the reason being is that they're not getting truth. And they're not getting that purpose. They're not finding the purpose. Because you're right, we have a generation trying to... One guy told me the other day, he said to me, he says, you know, I'm having my son's... he says, I'm having my son's bedroom remodeled and I'm turning it into an office. Maybe that'll get him to move out. That's what he said to me.
Oh, gotcha. Because he has no purpose.
Yeah, he graduated. Another guy, I was talking to another guy the other day. He says, he says, I'm really concerned about my son. He's going to graduate with a business degree. He says, that'll for sure cause him to move back home.
Oh.
Because what do you do with him?
With a business degree.
And other degrees, too.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah.
So purpose is really, really important today. And finding it. So first of all, we have to see the maybe psychology, mental mindset that I am I on set on myself?
Mm-hmm.
And really, I'm trying to find a purpose that makes me feel good about me. You know what I do? I've been doing it for years. I want people to feel good about God. If you find good about God, if you can find your purpose in God, you'll find your purpose of your life.
Right.
What is it people today, Kathy, what do they call it when they want to feel good about themselves and self-image and, my self-image and I have a low self-image and all. Mm-hmm. You find God's purpose for your life and you'll never feel like you have a low self-esteem again.
Yes.
You find self-esteem in somebody else, not in self.
So powerful.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. Yes.
I found
so
it.
Contrary.
Found it. Yeah.
So contrary.
You find self-esteem in Christian in God's kingdom. You find self-esteem by esteeming God.
Yes.
And then you get esteemed because I remember I told our friend Frank the other day, I was talking to him on the phone, and I said, when we first started out, a lady came to me, and I hadn't even preached a sermon yet. But, you know, people were sensing that I was kind of up and coming, but I hadn't preached much yet. And she said to me, Steve, I want you to remember this the rest of your life. She said, if God lifts you up, if God is lifting you up, you don't have to. Wow. I took that to heart. So
yes.
I said, well, then if I lift up God, then he's going to lift me up. And I don't have to. That saves saves a lot of time. I guess it's
right.
The same thing of the scripture. Yeah. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added or given to you. So, okay, are things, in that scripture, Kathy, are things bad?
No.
And what does the Bible say? God knows what?
That we have need of all those things.
Yeah, we have need of all those
need.
Things. In fact, it says God knows what you need before you even ask.
Yes.
So I always thought, why ask? If God knows I have need, just come on, God, do it. Which is the way a lot of people treat God. You know why? Because he wants me to involve him in my purpose and in my needs and in my life.
Yes.
So I got to ask.
Right.
Ask, and it shall be given to you.
So good.
Not dream or hope or wish. Well, I shouldn't say hope, but wish upon a star, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So anyway, that's the biggest reason people don't find their purpose is because they've found their purpose. Because it says called according to God's
His purpose.
And so their purpose is them. And let's just admit that's what it is. Yeah. You and I should probably talk more about marriage and relationships, family, children. Mm-hmm. But divorce really happens because people have found their purpose. It's them.
Wow.
And they get married to have somebody else help them find and fulfill their purpose. You don't get married so that other person can fulfill you get married to fill somebody else's. You become a Christian to fulfill Jesus' purpose.
Right.
God's purpose in the kingdom of God. Then it works. So that's the first uncertainty. I mean, you know, if the foundation is wrong, your whole life's going to be wrong.
That's right.
And if we call ourselves a Christian, mm-hmm. but where it's really a self-centered, commercialized Jesus, and I didn't say what that is, mm-hmm. the commercialized Jesus that I brought up, like people at work talk like they know Jesus. Well, it's the commercialized one who's really concerned how you feel today.
Yeah.
And how you're viewing yourself today. Mm-hmm. And what you're going to do to improve your self-esteem today. And to, big one, and to make sure, Kathy, you don't get your feelings hurt today.
Oh, my.
That's the God they know.
Oh, my.
And that's yeah. when you talk to them about what God's doing in the world today, these people who don't even know God will then begin to tell you, well, you know, God loves them, God's love, and now they'll spring out from that, not realizing the people are hurting and they're making bad decisions, because they don't have God's purpose. They have their purpose, and their purpose is them, and they're so they try this, they try that, they get married, they get divorced, they join alternate lifestyle. I'll just say that one. They get involved in all kinds of stuff, yeah. And really, they're trying to find purpose.
Yeah,
and so called yeah. according to His purpose,
His
God's
purpose.
So that's the first part wow. that I think is mm-hmm. Important. And then once you get there, then you now got to filter through. Not only, okay, this is God's purpose, but how do I get to where I'm doing it, right? And yeah. here's the starting point, also a mistake that people make. Here's the starting point. You start when you, it seems almost contradictory, but once you decide, it's a mental mind, you know, the renewing of your mind, the Bible says. Let's go there. So it says, if you renew your mind, then you will know what God's will is. His perfect, what is that? His perfect, yeah. his
good and perfect
and will.
There's
yeah.
another word too.
But you'll find the will yeah. of God. Uh-huh. Okay. So, yeah. So finding, renewing your mind on what God's purpose is for you.
Yes.
Okay. Then the surprise, in my opinion, the surprise comes. Once you renew your mind, say, my purpose is now God. I got to find God's purpose. All right. Then, whoa, he pulls you back and says, okay, here, let me tell you what my purpose is to start. I want you to use all that you have, all that you know, all you can do for me.
Yeah.
He said, he's not going to say like, mm-hmm. okay, I want you to go out and stand in a thunderstorm and lightning will strike you. And all of a sudden you're going to become a prophet. You're going to become an apostle. You're going to wake up Prophet Kathy. And then I want, my purpose is you go out and start prophesying. Doesn't work that way, but that's what a lot of people think. Yeah. Or they're waiting around to wake up. And one day, I know God promised me, my mom prophesied over me that I'm going to be a prophet. I'm just waiting. And No, it doesn't work that way. Okay, so you want to find God's purpose. So that's first it. God is your purpose. After that, then God surprises us. Says, now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take everything you can already do.
Yes.
Already do. Let's say it again.
Right.
Already do. What you already yeah. are. All that. All that you. And I want you to focus that and aim that towards me. But so yes. many other people, they falter because they're, oh, well, if I'm going to do something for God, then something new has to happen to me. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
A new experience. So I'm waiting for something new, a new word. Somebody's going to give me a prophecy, or I'm going to get a word from God, or I'm going to wake up and have a healing ministry one of them, or somebody's going to lay hands on me and I'm going to have a healing ministry. Mm-hmm. It doesn't start there because if you don't get the renewed mind on my purpose is God, you'll start. I've seen it. This is the true story. It's unfortunate, but it's true. People start a healing ministry or they call themselves apostle somebody or prophet somebody. But the root is wrong because the purpose is what? They're doing it to feel good about themselves, a self-purpose.
Yeah.
So it's going to falter and people, mm-hmm. and then you're going to get frustrated. You're gonna say, how many people come to me in our church and they say, I'm prophet so-and-so. We don't know who they are really, but
yeah.
And I'm here to prophesy and God sent me to give you a word. And then we don't let them give a word. And they get frustrated. And sometimes I've talked to them, they're so angry. My last church, my last pastor, he wouldn't let me be a prophet in the church, so I left. Now I've come to your church. And I go like, you know why?
Yeah.
Because you're prophesying to feel good about yourself. You're not prophesying to help other people.
Right. Yeah.
And you can see it, you know, have you ever seen those prophets go around and they have a word for everybody all over, and it's always like, here's my word. Here's the word of the Lord. You're going to have a great ministry and all the money's going to start coming in. Your blessing's just around the corner. I heard one lady, she walked up to a guy. You could tell it was a visitor. He didn't know what was going on. He's a first time visitor and prophesied. And God tells me you're going to be part of the fivefold ministry, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor. I'm going like, are you kidding me? You are saying that so that the congregation goes, you're such a, you have such a word from God for everybody. But that could destroy that person.
Yes, it can.
That person's first doesn't even know God.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah.
So there's where people use what you have. Start on ground level.
Yeah.
Level one.
Yeah.
Is everything I have, all that I've experienced, the good and the bad, every hurt, every success, every wonderful thought, every difficult time, I'm going to aim all of that into God's purpose.
Yes.
Then, after you get to there, then you find out God's purpose is a lot bigger than that. And he'll increase your purpose by using what you have, not what you don't have. And so when, you know, the revival started and I went from a country preacher and all of a sudden I have a national and then it's international and, you know, we're going over to Japan and I'm seeing posters of me and you, but me in Japanese all over Tokyo, you know, he's in town now.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if I go there to just feel good about myself, then it's not going to work.
No.
But right. God took me and sent me.
Yes.
And guess what? I got to be me because I'd taken who I am and forged it through prayer and fasting and prayer and reading the Bible and just growing up in God and renewing my mind, all those things.
Yeah.
And now I don't have to become a prophet. Or how about those people that have a voice change when they pray? Like they talk normal. And he said, let us pray. Oh, thou wast greatest goddess. Oh, thou God, thou in heaven. And I'm going like, well, that's not you.
No.
You know how many hundreds of times I've had, particularly worship leaders, come to me and say, you know, I got to get up there and lead worship, but I just don't want it to be me.
Huh.
And you know, most of the time when that happens, it's as dull as can be.
Yeah.
Because, of course, it's going to be you. Who do you think it's going to be?
Yes.
And as I always answer, I said,
right.
Well, let's pray it's not somebody else.
Yeah.
Come on.
My word, yeah.
See, they're no good.
Right.
Because God wants to use you.
Yes. And, you know, you taught me that when I would sometimes, when I'm preaching, you know, or when I would have the opportunity to preach in the earlier days, too, and I would just be in a tizzy and spending hours and hours and hours preparing all this material and studying and, you know, having big long notes, and I'd be like a nervous wreck, to be honest. And you would help me and you would instruct me and say, Kathy, they're not interested in all your information or your big revelation. That's not what these people need. These people need who you are, who you have become through all your life experiences and your faith walk and, you know, having me, Steve Gray, teach me and train me. But the people need who I am. And so I finally had to learn. I'm not doing this, you know, to prove to all of them I'm a scholar or I'm a prophet or, you know, or to feel good about myself. I'm doing this because the people need who I've become, actually. Yeah. And that information coming through me, and you taught me that, and I don't think many preachers understand that.
Not many people understand that.
People.
And two things I remember about that is I would teach you and others. Yeah. I'd say, okay, I take a scripture everybody knows, like John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And I'd tell them, look, I have heard that preached 1,000 times, but I've never heard you preach it.
Yes.
That's the key.
Yeah. That's...
I've never heard you preach it. That it's the you that people forget. Yeah. And then the other thing people, when you started out and you were in the tizzy,
yeah,
I told you, I said, look, and by the way, folks, Kathy's an excellent student. She loves to study.
Yes.
You know, some people study because they have to. You enjoy the process of a sermon.
I do.
Don't you?
I do.
I know. I watch you. I enjoy the process of creativity.
Right.
I want to create this sermon for
yes.
you. Okay. Yeah. And I know you enjoy that, and you spend a lot of time in it.
Uh-huh.
And a couple of times, I think, over the years, I've suggested to you, said, Kathy, I think you got enough. You can stop now. And you know why? Because I told you this.
Overload.
Yeah. Because when people listen to sermons, and probably anything, but when mm-hmm. they listen to sermons, they remember only a little bit of what you say. What they remember is you.
Yes.
And if they remember, and that's where the people make the mistake. They're so busy trying to get them to what they say that they don't give them any of you.
Right.
But the biggest portion of what they remember is you.
Yeah.
So when they want more information, or they want to invite you back to speak, or they want to invite you to do something, you know what they think of? They don't think, oh, yeah, I remember you.
Yes.
And they invite you back, or me back, or whoever it is.
Yeah.
You get invited back.
Yeah.
Then, once they accept you and they want the you, now you can teach almost anything you want.
Yeah.
You remember, I guess it's okay to tell this story. When especially revival days were starting, and now I'm preaching 5 days a week, sometimes 10 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
Now you say there ain't 10 days in a week. Well, that's
not 10
sermons a week.
Because
we do the church, then we fly somewhere. Yeah. I have to preach maybe four or five more sermons in another town. Then we fly back and more. And I'm thinking, like, I'm doing all this preaching, and it's tiring a little bit. I don't ever admit tiring, but, you know, it was a good kind of thing, you know, a good kind of wear down. This is why, you know, what I was born for. And I thought, God, how can I be more effective and reach more people? And remember, and so one night we came home or whatever. I flipped on the TV. I actually was going to try to catch the news, but I missed the news. News is what, 10 o'clock news or whatever. I missed the news, and I think it was like somebody like David Letterman or somebody. He's retired now. You've seen he's got this great big beard now.
Yeah.
He's really retired.
Yeah.
But I think David Letterman was on, and I'm watching him, and he's giving his monologue at the front. And he's wrecking the president. He's making fun of the president or a politician or the world or his city or NBC or whatever, you know. I'm thinking, like, he gets to say anything he wants, and the people laugh and they clap and they smile, and he smiles and he sits down and the guest comes out and everybody's happy. He said, how come he gets to say everything he wants, but when I preach, I'm like, I don't know if I should say that, or can you do that, or what? And then that's when I told you that. I said, you know why he gets to say everything he wants anytime he wants? Because people like him.
Yeah.
And I said that to you. I said, you know, Kathy, mm-hmm. if I can develop a better, maybe not better personality, but if I can become likable, more likable,
right?
I'll get to say anything I want, or most anything I want.
Yeah.
And that worked, didn't it?
Yeah.
So when I would go to these towns and people didn't know me, or countries and people didn't know me, I thought, you know, I'm going to be me. So people say, well, I don't want it to be me. I thought, I got to be me. I got to develop me into the person that God wants me to be, mm-hmm. according to his purpose, of course. And so I did. And I found out when people started liking me. So I told stories on myself, laughed at myself, laughed at religion, whatever, you know. And told stories on you.
Yeah.
I don't know if you liked it, but they did. And
most of them were okay.
Yeah, most of them were okay. And then I found out I can preach about anything. And I preached strong things. And it was really fun too when you say such strong things and then just kind of laugh a little bit about it. Like, I still like you guys. I just wanted you to know this. Nothing personal, you know.
Yeah.
And I got to preach all over the world, and I still do it. I say about anything I want if you have that likability. So I want to back up with that purpose. Purpose is you. Let God develop you before you look for something new. New comes later.
Right.
Like if you think, my grandma laid hands on me and said, you're going to be a prophet. Maybe you will, but not till you develop you. If you don't develop you, your character will not be good. And then you'll be weak because it's still self. Then you're going to be offended. Then you're going to want to say, well, they're not paying me enough money, or they don't appreciate me, or how did I do tonight, Kathy? Did I do okay? I hope I did okay. You know, I'm just nervous, you know, and it's all about you, me. Okay. Deliver us from that.
Yes,
deliver
Lord.
Us from secretly living a life of self-purpose.
That's right.
When we're pretending. You and I have been throwing around the term nominal Christian. Which is what? Mm-hmm. It's just, what is it?
In name only.
Name only.
It's just in name only.
Because a true believer is a servant and a server and a lover of
God
and all those things. People know that already.
I don't know if I can just interject this here. I like to tell stories about you sometimes.
Okay.
But for instance, I've watched you for many, many years now, growing in God, yielding to His character training, and humbling yourself and going through circumstances with, you know, as a pastor, it gets kind of hard sometimes, you know, but you always took things with humility, with grace, with saying, what is wrong with me then? What's wrong with me? And then when it came time for the Smith and Outpouring and people were starting to come by droves, and finally a reporter asked you, wow, don't you just feel so good about yourself? Doesn't this make you feel good? And you and I decided, you know what? It was such a spiritual constant battle and intensity to move with this revival and the power of God and everything. We didn't have time to feel anything about ourselves. And I remember you would tell me that occasionally. You know, people say, doesn't this make you feel good? And you'd say, I don't have time to feel anything about myself.
Yep.
And I love that principle, making you effective.
Yeah, I remember that reporter asked me that, doesn't this make you feel good about yourself? And I said, no, it doesn't make me feel good about myself. And then he said, well, then what's the opposite of it? Does that make you feel bad about yourself? And I said, no, it doesn't make me feel bad about myself. It doesn't make me feel anything about myself.
Exactly.
Because the idea
is
to lose myself into this.
Right.
So I'm not trying to feel good about myself.
And you have His purpose.
Yeah.
According to His purpose. And
now, one of the questions you asked me earlier before we started was, has there ever been a time when you maybe God was wanting to guide me in an unexpected way. Mm-hmm. Do you remember you mentioned that?
Right.
You mentioned that question.
Yeah.
Any, you felt God guiding you in a... And I was thinking about it. I was in this chair just before we started. And I thought, what direction do I go with that? Because obviously it is... And you know, we've never talked about this to anybody in public, but I have an example. Some people that know us know this already, some that don't, but we ended up getting involved in foster care, right? And all of a sudden, we actually had 4 teenage daughters in our house for a number of years. Mm-hmm. Now, foster care, some come, some go. Praise God, some stayed. Some are with us today, right? And we adopted some. But anyway, 4 teenage girls, and we're ministering and we're traveling, all of a sudden like that. You know what? I just never expected to be a dad instantly. It's not like they got to start in diapers and come up and give you practice. You know, you didn't get to practice. Bang. And there we were. And I remember we had to think like, foster care, we got to buy Christmas presents for 4 teenage girls. They were close to the same age, just about, they're 2 or 3 years difference. So they're going to all want the same thing. That's where you tell the story where For our girl from Mexico, we had a girl from Mexico living with us, and you, Bobby.
She was an exchange student.
Exchange student, yeah. Thank you. Not she was not foster care. You're right, but she was there at
right.
the same time.
Yeah.
And you bought Bobby.
Yeah, our daughter.
A special sweater for Christmas, but you wrapped it and put the wrong name on it, And we had to watch the face of Bobby as our exchange student opened it. And she's so happy. She, oh, I love this sweater.
Yeah.
And Bobby's face goes down. Like, you know, but you know what? I had to step in to something because by that time we were established. Mm-hmm. We've been in the ministry. We're okay. We have a church. The church is doing fine. It was before the world ministry. So I wasn't a world international minister at that time. But just local, mm-hmm. country, but still unexpected. I did not expect that we would be foster care, exchange student, adoption, and I had to not only be the pastor of that church down the street, suddenly, unexpectedly, I'm the dad of four girls, and how do you do that? Well, you know what normally would happen, and I didn't do it. But what would normally happen? Girls, well, girls or boys, doesn't matter. But all of a sudden you find these teenagers in your house. Well, most men are going, I should have you say it, really. Most men in our culture today, what's going to be the adjustment? They're going to...
Pull back.
Pull back. Well, they already probably
Yeah, and let
back.
The wife But the lead wife's going to do everything.
So the wife now is going to, even if, it, just because it's girls... Yeah. That's what you'd think. We'll let the wife do it. But it could have been boys.
Yeah.
But anyway, so all of a sudden, Kathy is going to make sure they do their homework. Kathy's going to make sure they have laundry. Kathy's going to make sure they don't have bad friends. Kathy's going to make sure they don't get a stupid boyfriend. Kathy's going to... Kathy. That's the norm. And plus, Kathy's going to pay the bills because I don't know anything. I don't know any bill. I don't know what... Well, I don't know. I just come home. You know, but that's where my life changed there too.
Yeah.
So I took the pastoral thought.
That's good.
The pastoral thought of what is a pastor and purpose. Yeah. So now I have a new purpose, and it's not me; it's these four girls, and and I thought I need to now serve the Lord with who I am for these four girls without losing anything over at the church.
Yeah.
A challenge?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I jumped in, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
So all of a sudden, my new skill is, have you done your homework?
Yeah.
And then sitting down, I remember with Bobby, we'd sit down, and I enjoyed it. She didn't like it so much. Let's go over your history, because I like history.
Or geography,
but she didn't like that either. And I'd like it. Yeah. And I'm sitting down, and I'm doing homework. You know what? I worked all day. I worked on sermons. I heard people's problems. I counseled men, you know, marriages. And then... Now, and besides that, I would do homework. I would talk life to them. Every opportunity I had, I became a pastor dad. And then they all go to bed, right? And guess what I had to do after that? Work. Because there were still phone calls or pastoring or studying or... And I took over paying the bills. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
I said, I'm going to pay the... I am now... You know, they say, the husbands say, I'm the man of the house. You know what that means? You know, I'm the head of the house. That's what some say the man. You know, God made me the head of the house. Yeah, you know what that means, guys? You're responsible for everything then. If you're going to be the head, you're responsible. She's not, they're not, the dog's not. Now, everybody's involved. We're involved. Well, we're a team. Yes. I don't want to make it sound like that. Yeah. But that was the difference.
Right.
Almost everybody we knew, the wife was leading, doing, organizing, and knew everything.
Yeah.
And the husband knew nothing. Mm-hmm. And then there were starting to be some divorces in our churches. And I said, how could this be?
Yeah.
And we would counsel with them. And almost 100% when they come in and they, well, sometimes just the wife would come in because she couldn't even get the husband to come in and talk to us. And what we listened and what was the problem?
Yeah.
Almost 100%.
Yeah. The wife did it all.
And what was she complaining? That's a complaint.
Complaining about the husband does nothing.
Nothing. And some of them, Kathy, were thinking, I might as well be single. I'll get a divorce and be single. I do everything myself anyway. Why should I do it for him? I had people say that to me. And all of a sudden, I realized I found a jewel in my life. Mm-hmm. And that is becoming a head without becoming a ruler. But being involved in everything, knowing things, and I'm still, is that not me today?
Sure.
Still,
yeah,
man, I'm
definitely
involved in everything, but I like it.
Yeah.
I like being a leader. I like being the man.
Yeah.
I don't want to take your job, right. But I like doing my job.
Yes.
So that was my unexpected. I saw, you know, when you asked me that, I was trying to think, and I never shared this one before. Yeah. I thought that was an unexpected adventure in my life when I'm not just going to be a husband, but I'm going to take on leading. I, as you know, I knew not only homework, I drilled them on boys. And
yes, she did.
Yes. And ran a few off.
Yes, she did.
And frightened a few.
In powerful ways.
In powerful ways that I guess we'll tell those stories
maybe
later.
Some other day.
When we want to laugh at some of the things we did or have. We'll have to bring Bobby, our daughter, on and Brooke to come on and talk about their adventures. Brooke's, Brooke's husband's in the room with us sitting over there. And she's got a few stories too. Or maybe she's told you my involvement.
Yeah.
Unexpected. And I want to encourage men and women, but everybody, start with who you are. Because the dad skills, they're in there. They're in there. I just, like most people, dads, don't use them. Lazy, or we just turn it over to you. So I took those skills. I did not have to go and fast and pray for skills. I just had to be... and put together and say, what would be the best thing for somebody else? For either God, for Jesus, for the girls, whatever. For you, I need to become, and I don't know if it's okay to, like you said, it's okay to tell stories and stuff, but do you see even, we're going on 50 years of, well, ministry I was going to say, but 50 years of marriage.
Marriage also. Yeah,
that's a long time. We won't even think how long that is. But do you see that even today I take the responsibility of a house, and if and I want to nurture you without being your boss. Sometimes I might sound like a boss. I hope I don't, but you know. Maybe I don't handle everything perfectly.
Once in a blue moon.
Yeah, nobody handles everything perfectly. But you know my goal is for you to find your purpose.
My purpose,
and be who God's called you to be.
Yeah.
And I want to come against and fight and pray and do warfare against anything that would rob you of your purpose. So my purpose now has become you. My purpose is God. My purpose is Jesus. What about our church? My purpose is the church. I love our church, and I love the church people. But I love you, and I love our church. So every day of my life is formed around a purpose. And to the ability of possible, it's not me. Would you agree?
I totally agree.
Yeah. Now, do I do it 100%? I don't know if anybody does 100%. But that's what I do every day. Every day I get up and join,
what's the purpose today?
And it's either going to be you or my kids or my grandkids or the church or God or Jesus or a stranger, give money away, whatever.
Yeah.
I can't think of getting up and saying, well, what about me?
Yeah.
What about me? Because I found me in him.
In him.
And in you and in them.
Mm-hmm.
And grandkids, wonder, you know, and kids, grandkids.
Yeah.
And even in foster care.
Yes.
We should have done this better, but we just got a note about a few weeks ago from one of those girls. I had no idea where she even lives now because kind of lost track. You know, she grew up and went her way and got out of foster care and thanked us for the guidance.
Yes.
Yeah. The dad part of it. Thanked us for the guidance and the lessons she learned in the church and in our family. You want to end on a scripture today? You want people like this scripture.
Yeah.
I think you know this scripture better than I do, really, because you one time taught on it even a little deeper way than most people think. Why don't you head to that scripture and give us a few minutes on it before we end?
All right. Well, Jeremiah 29:11, and God is talking actually to the whole house of Israel, and then we bring that into our lives today. For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, and plans to give you hope and a future. And you know, plans to give you hope and a future. And actually, as I dug into the meaning of that, it actually means plans to give you my expected end for your life. My plans are to give you have my plans fulfilled. That's what your future is. And so that can give us hope. And I tell you, I'm so thankful for that, that I understand all throughout my life, everything as I moved along now, according to his purpose.
So
thank God.
Yeah, plans to prosper you and not harm you. People right. know that. I've heard him quote it much. Yeah. It's a personal scripture for a lot of people.
Yes, it is.
It's a great one to have posted in your house. It's a great one to teach your kids. But could we just one more time before we end? Could you define that again? God, it means what?
It means as he's prospering us and helping us on the way, it's to fulfill his plan.
Purpose.
And his purpose for us. That's his purpose, is through our lives as we trust him, keep renewing our mind, obeying him, and doing with what we have now and who we are now. It's his purposes that are going to actually come his expected end. He expects a good end. He expects me to live my whole life according to who he is, and to be that foster mom, to be that wife, to be that one who has the opportunity to speak and to lead and help our church. That gives me hope, but it leads me to his expected end. It's going to be good. It is good. And so that's what I love about the Word of God.
And a lot of people, you know, it says prosper you. Yeah. Well, it's easy. Well, I want God to prosper me, so I start thinking of money and all that.
Yeah.
But so God's prosperity is through him. He's not opposed to the money.
Right.
He certainly
doesn't
want to harm us.
Right.
But it's through his purpose.
Yeah.
We know he says all that God's got, Kathy, can start working for you.
Yeah.
But let's focus in. Who do I love? Do I really love God? Is it just nominal, in name only, I'm a Christian? Do I really have I really developed a relationship with the love of God? Because, as you know, here I'm getting off this. I'm about ready to end. Now I'm going again. But as you know, go any church in America, and you go into Sunday school class. What age you want? Second grade, third grade, whatever it is. And they're teaching. And they go in, and we're going to sing a song today. And what song are we going to sing, teacher? We're going to sing Jesus Loves Me. And that's good. He does. And we're going to go away, and we want to make sure that the kids know. We want to make sure the adults know. We want to make sure all the new believers and the teenage, that God loves you. Right?
Yeah.
Isn't that what we're going to find? Mm-hmm. Is that almost 100%?
Yes.
And what are we not going to find? We're not going to find that that's not where God started.
Yeah.
God started. He said, this is my command for you, that you love me.
Yeah.
With all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The gospel, well, the Bible, the kingdom, and the Bible, and the gospel, you know what it starts? Jesus said, this is the greatest commandment, love God and love your neighbor. But it starts with loving God. You can go to 1,000 churches, to 1,000 Sunday school classes, and there won't be one single lesson on loving God. There won't be one requirement, if you can, because the people don't realize, God didn't say do it if you feel like it. He required us, or he required them when he said it, to love him. It's a requirement. Now, once you get there, the whole thing opens up. So he said, so Paul wrote and said, I've got to do this. God will put everything he's got for you, towards you, around you, surround you with goodness and greatness and songs of deliverance if you love God. He didn't say if you believe God loves you. He does. But that's not where this journey starts. It's not where the power starts. It's not where the blessings start. Love God and grab his purpose. And let's review it. His purpose is to start with who you already are. You use everything you've got for him. That's his purpose. Then he expands it more. And the purpose widens. And you realize, man, he's using everything he's got to increase my purpose in life, because my purpose is him. And now I've been pulled into his purpose. And now you can use Jeremiah. His plan is to prosper you.
Yeah.
He's going to use everything he's got, Kathy, to prosper you and to not let you get harmed, to not harm you. He's not going to harm you. And give you hope and a future.
Yeah.
Why? Because everything he's got is working for your good.
Yeah.
But let's get it right.
Yeah.
Let's get it in order. And let's start with loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then God's purpose is going to come into your life. Good stuff.
Good stuff.
Hey, I hope you'll tell your friends about these discussions we're having and these lessons. They're life-changing.
Yes.
I don't know. Maybe Kathy, maybe everybody's listening to everybody. And everybody's getting their life changed. And everybody's listening going, oh, wow, that changed my life. But I'm not sure. So this is life-changing. You're not going to hear all this everywhere, some places. But we hope you'll tell your friends, right? Tell your friends about this podcast. Get on it. Watch it every single week it comes on. And join us as we begin to apply our faith to every area of our life. Because more faith produces what, Kathy?
More life.
More faith, more life. Till next time. Bye-bye.